Good morning.
Good morning.
That music is from Issa Fireland, and it was recorded live at a Celtic worship intercession something meeting in Belfast. My group was there, you know, because I take groups to Ireland and Scotland. So some of you guys should come, pick up that Celtic boldness. We have a lot of fun. But anyway, if you're interested in coming, give Margaret your email. Make sure I have your email, because I'll send out a flyer soon. The next one is in July. But I just want to tell you, it's not a mission trip or a ministry trip. It's a chill out, get drunk in the spirit and get delivered trip. And so actually awesome things happen. God just shows up, but we don't have any planned. We don't do like lots of religious stuff. I don't go to religious places. I just go to the Patrick places, because you all have St. Patrick's Day, right? Well, I don't know if you know, St. Patrick actually was known as the man that raises dead people. That's why you know about St. Patrick today. Not because he chased snakes out of Ireland, because there never been any snakes in Ireland, or he wore green garments or hats or anything like that. He was known as the man that raises dead people. And he actually won Dublin to the Lord by raising the king's two children from the dead. Yeah, that's what they had to do. You see, they had to demonstrate the power of God out there with the Druids, because the guys that had the power were the Druids. And they could do stuff. So they had to confront the Druids all the time out there. And it's awesome. In fact, I have some books on that, you know, I have one book called Celtic Flames. It's got accounts of the ministers Patrick, Bridget, Brendan, Cuthbert, all those guys. Fathers of the Faith, awesome. You know, I think we've got a few things to get back that we dropped along the way. Sometimes I read on the internet, you know, about we're this great end time church. And then I read some of the stuff. And it's true, we do have some revelation they didn't have, but they had some things we don't have, which we've got to get back, because them without us is not made perfect. And us without them is not made perfect. So, and what happened with Patrick is the king of Dublin actually already rejected the gospel, because he had his druid wizards. And they were pretty powerful. They could do stuff. It wasn't like your little witch's coven around the corner, you know, playing witches. In fact, this lady came to a meeting of mine a while ago. It's a conference, and she came to me after the meeting. She said, I want you to know I'm a witch. I said, no, you're not. She said, I am. I said, you're not. You don't know enough to be a witch, to be a real witch. She said, oh, okay. Anyway, she stayed for the conference. So. Then I had another funny thing that happened. Like, I was doing this. It was a conference for pastors' wives, and it was in this hotel, you see. Well, when we got to the hotel where they were actually having the meetings, there was this big sign out the front, you see, about this this medium's fair, you know, spiritist mediums. I thought, oh, you know, we're having our conference in there. So I said to the manager, how come they've got a sign out there? So he said, well, they're here every year. He said, and it's a bigger conference than your conference, because they have about 250, and our pastor's wife's is about 120 or something. So they said, they're at the big room at the end, you see. So what I did was I put my book table out in the passageway. Because they all assumed it was probably part of the same thing. So they started buying all my books, because it said supernatural, you know, angels, visitations. They bought loads of my stuff. And they took all into the room. You know, people in there were saying to me, we need to pray, we need to pray. I said, no, we don't need to pray, we're here. You see, and I pray, but, you know, I said, no, no, it's fine, just worship the Lord. Anyway, I sent someone down there about an hour later to check what's going on in this other meeting. There was only five people there in the end, everybody else left. It was really weird. We didn't know, they just got my books, maybe they went home to read them. Anyway, that's exciting what God does. I've got to drink my coffee. I didn't get any tea. But the coffee's good. I did make some tea. So anyway, back to Ireland. Yeah, they had to confront the Druids out there. So what happened, the king, like I said, the king of Ireland, he already rejected the gospel because he had his Druid wizard, you see. So, but 1 week, two of his children died in the same week. His little boy died of a sickness and his little girl was drowned in the River Liffey. So they were fixing to have a Druid funeral. Somebody said to the king, did you know that Patrick, the man that raises dead people, is in the next village? So the king said, well, see if he'll come over and see if he can do anything. So somebody went and fetched Patrick and he came over. And the king took him to where the two bodies were laid out for the funeral, you know. So he said, can you do anything? And Patrick said, yes, I can. But if I do, it will be in the name of Jesus. And if my God does this for you, you have to serve my God. So the king said, okay, or whatever was the 5th century equivalent of okay was. And he raised the two children from the dead. And that afternoon, the whole town was baptized in the River Liffey. So that's how they did. Signs and wonders increase. You know, I mean, everything that God does, he's telling you something. You know, he doesn't do stuff just to entertain us, though it can be entertaining. So, you know, when he's always speaking, always telling us, like through the aromas. Last night, there were some awesome aromas here last night, weren't there? They changed at least 4 or 5 times. And was at our hotel too. Outside, you know where the doors are? It's right there, wasn't it? Anyway, so say whatever God's got, I want it. Mine, yeah. Yeah, I was just down in, what's it called, that place we were at? Lower Hutt. It's a funny name, isn't it? Lower Hutt. Anyway, I think there's a higher hut as well. Oh, up hut, okay. Anyway, so they've been texting me from there, and they had a couple of, what parties are they, Margaret? They had lighten up parties. And then they said, everyone's walking around here saying, mine! Mine! Because I said, you know, if God gives you something, if he, like, shows you something that you want, or you've got, you know, something you want, or he gives you a vision or word or something, you know, you have to actually get it. You can't say, that's interesting, I'll write that in my Bible. That's not going to do anything. You have to actually say, mine! You have to actually get it and own it, don't you? You have to kind of arrest it. And you know, there's a scripture that says about we're arrested by Christ. Do you know that scripture? And so I looked up that word arrest. Arrest means to stop and take with you. That's what the word arrest means. So when Jesus arrested you, he stopped you and took him with him. So when God gives you something, you have to get it. You know, you have to own it and make it mine. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. So, just telling you that today, if God gives you something today, don't say that's interesting. If you tell me, oh, that was a really interesting meeting, I might smack you. We had enough interesting meetings to last us 500 years. You know, if you tried to walk out everything you knew, it'd take you 500 years, wouldn't it, to work it all out? Because we have so many messages these days, don't we? Messages on the internet, on the CDs, on the TV, on the, you know. So you have to discern, what is God saying to me? What's he saying to you today? Because Jesus said we live by the proceeding word. So I'm going to say a lot of stuff today. I'm going to teach you about faith a little bit. And after the break, I'm going to teach you about angels. Then I'm going to pray for everyone. We're going to get some cows. Cows represent a continual means of provision. God's dropping cows on people. Because guess what? You have to prosper. Sorry. You have to prosper because there's things to do and places to go. Right? Say, I have things to do. And places to go. Yes, I have to prosper. See, so you have to prosper in these days. It's not really an option. you know, we have to finance the gospel to the nations. And so guess who's going to do that? Your government's not. You know, my government definitely isn't. So it's going to be you. Is that awesome? Yeah, I see. I don't know if you were here last night, but I told you I saw that Elijah mantle hovering over New Zealand. It's so beautiful. It was so beautiful. It was like this light blue, and it was like it looked like velvet. And the Elijah mantle is full of boldness, signs, wonders, and miracles, the supernatural. He had a lot of boldness, didn't he, Elijah? Confronted bad stuff. And so I'm turning the hearts of the people back to the Father. You know, I just believe there's going to be a lot of people just getting saved. And but you see that mantle, it was hovering there, but it's not automatic, is it? Nothing's automatic. You have to get into faith to receive. Nathan mentioned that last night. You can't go anywhere in the spirit realm without faith, actually. Because if you don't have a revelation of faith, you'll be in and out and up and down and all over the place. So you have to know, understand what faith is. The difference between believing and faith. Because you can believe something till the cows come home. Or sheep come home. I've got two sheep named after me now. I'm so flattered. Now my friends from America are saying, oh, can you get one named after me? I thought I could sell this stuff. Anyway, so yeah, we have to understand what faith is, because you have to move from believing to faith in order to receive. So I'm going to tell you the difference. I mean, you know, you can believe in healing for years, can't you, and not get healed? And so there's the difference. I was thinking of a story to tell you before I start. What should I tell them about, Margaret? You know, I like to stretch people with my stories. You have to be stretched, because the boxes have to break. Is that right? Yeah, we have boxes. We put ourselves in a box. And the box is usually created by family, school teacher, friends, church. So God's in the business of breaking those boxes, because there's things he's put in there that haven't come out yet. But he wants it all to be released. Because I believe this move, this coming, it started already, is going to be so out of the box. You know, and if you can't cope with your own box, getting rid of your own box, you definitely won't cope with what's coming. Because God's doing, you know, he's doing a lot of things. He's not asking your opinion about it. He's not asking for your approval. He's just doing stuff. So I like to tell stories to break boxes, you know. What should I tell them about, Margaret? I'll tell you a story. Oh, no, I'll do that later. Yeah. I was in a meeting in California just before I came to New Zealand, and I was praying for people at the end. This one guy sat on the floor and barred like a lamb for an hour and a half. Bah, bah. You see, well, first of all, people were like... But soon, all this hilarious laughter broke out. An hour and a half, people started getting delivered from all kinds of stuff just through that. So you can't tell God how to do it. He doesn't have a formula. You just have to be open. So I'm so open. And I'm so qualified. And I'm so available. Okay, that's half of you said that, so... You have to be available, because there's going to be lots of suddenlies. You have to be up for suddenlies. Who wasn't here last night? I said last night, look, you only have one shot down here. You're not coming back as a hamster or something. You have one shot. So you might as well have fun, mightn't you? You might as well have adventures, don't you think? Or you just lose up your one shot being bored, you know, and being in all the religious stuff. But you have to get out of that and get into the God stuff, because it's what he's doing is so exciting. I talked to this lady actually, because she saw Beverly's book. I have a friend called Beverly. She wrote a book called The Merry Widow. And why she wrote it was because 3 years ago her husband died. Now, she loved her husband, but he was one of those people that did everything. You know what I mean? He did everything. And Beverly was used to him doing everything. I mean, I think she just barely knew how to write a check for the hairdresser. And but so when her husband died, fairly suddenly, you know, her kids were calling her saying, "Mom, you know, just buy a cat or a bird or a parrot, you know." So she, a day she wandered around thinking, "Well, no, I'll buy a cat." And then she suddenly thought, because she'd been in my conference, she said, "No, I'm not going to buy a cat or a parrot. I'm going to go with Kathy Walters." So she made this decision, you see, to do something. Now, she's, you know, she's not 25 anymore, but still she gets up, she comes to loads and loads of places with me. And but now her kids aren't worried about her being bored. But they're texting like, "Where are you?" You know. So, you know, the older people, you're included. I am included now. Arthur Burt used to sing that song. I am included now. He made me an heir of his kingdom over there. And I know I'm included. So you're included. Actually, I don't know if you saw that word on Elijah list. God's raising up an army of wild grandmas. He is. I tell people, don't mess with the grandmas. You're asking for trouble if you do that. Because they've been around a while, you know. And actually, when I had that word, it was on Elijah list. And the next week in my local paper was an article about this lady. She was in her 80s, and she had a stick, you know, walker and everything. And this young guy broke into her house, and she sent him to the hospital. And I thought, it's a confirmation. And then when I was here, do you remember here in the paper here, Margaret? I think it was last year. There was an article in the paper here. It was about an old lady here that actually walked on the big, you know, frame thing. You know, so she obviously couldn't walk very well. And her neighbour, this one woman next door, was being attacked by somebody. So she comes down the thing and throws the walker at him, you see, and knocks him out with the walker. And so, like, it was so funny. It was so funny. So there you go. And that, you know, I don't know if you read that, or you saw that on TV, but that lady outside of Walmart's. It's a true story. They had it on Fox News. A little while ago, they replayed it. And this little elderly lady, I think she's a little black lady, she gets in the car outside of Walmart's. It's parked in one of those disabled spaces. And this young guy got in. He said, "Move out, lady, because I want the car." So she locked the doors. She said, "You're not going anywhere. You're going to listen to me." And she preached to him for about 20 minutes. Then she unlocked the door and said, "You can go now." I love it. Yeah. It's good, isn't it, when your spirit rises up like that. There's a time to not do something. There's another time when you've got to do something. Is that right? There's a time to war for something. You know, I think sometimes Israel, you know, the armies, sometimes after a battle, the Philistines would hang around and rip off the barley fields and the lentil fields, just steal the harvest. And I remember Eliezer at least twice got in the middle of the field and said, "No, that's our harvest." It's true. See, sometimes you have to get mad at the devil, don't you? I say, "Oh, well, excuse me, but that's our harvest there. Do you mind?" "Excuse me, but you're trespassing. I'll send you a notice." Sometimes you have to get mad at the devil, don't you? "That's mine." You know, when you start going after something in God, do you think the devil just stands there and says, "Oh, look at them"? See, He actually isn't interested in you, really. He could care less. The devil could care less about you, really. He only gets interested in you when you start getting in the anointing. Because it's only the anointing that affects his kingdom. Nothing else does. It's only the anointing that affects God's kingdom, actually. Because all our working at it and all our good things don't do anything. You know, it made me remind me, I said, when I was here last time, it's like I do come to some places, and I did feel it a bit this morning. And it feels like there's a nail in my foot, nailing my foot to the floor. It's like, oh, religious spirit. It doesn't mean you're not doing anything, because you can do this. You can do it really fast. So you can do a lot of good things and miss the God thing, can't you? Anybody done that? I've done that. You can be so busy working for Jesus that you totally miss the anointing, and you can totally miss divine appointments that way. I've done it. So busy. But I want to tell you something. Now, I know we're in Cromwell. Is that right? That's amazing that I even knew that. So we're in Cromwell, but I want to tell you something. Wherever you come from, Jesus is not running around this morning trying to recruit workers for the kingdom. Thanks for the same. Don't call us, we'll call you. He's not running around trying to recruit workers. He's looking for his sons and daughters to rise up and be who he called them to be. So he's actually not looking for you to work for him. He's looking for you to yield to him so that he can work through you. I promise you a lot more will happen in a lot less time with a lot less effort. You see, because he works in you both to will and to do. He wants to work through us. So he doesn't need you out there trying to work for him. You actually get in the way. Sometimes, you know, women pray their heart out and then try and fix it. And sometimes when I'm praying for people, my right arm, you know, like goes numb. And I know they're trying to do something themselves. And I say, put your own arm down, honey. Because his right hand and holy arm's gotten the victory. So sometimes you have to stand still and believe and let God stretch forth his arm on your behalf. Is that right? You see, so it's all about, we come out of the, you know, most of us probably today have been in a realm where there's been at least, you know, a mixture of religious stuff. And the thing about words is, words are spiritual, actually. All words originate in a spirit, from a spirit. So when religious words go in your ears, they sow seeds at the back of your mind, you see. And those thoughts develop thought patterns. So when you come into the things of the spirit, you're trying to get in the spiritual realm or the heavenly realm or the unseen realms, some of this stuff that's got in has to come out, you see, because it's formed thought patterns. And you don't usually just undo them overnight because they're like patterns of thinking. So God has to do that, but do you know what? He's doing that if you're prepared to let stuff go. But people hang on to their little religious spirits, you know, because it's comfortable there. It's safe there, isn't it? Because I don't have to move out too much. I stay in my $20 offering realm. It's comfortable there. I can cope with $20. God told you to give $1,000, you'd probably freak out. But God's looking for people to flow through. Is that right? Your anointings, your giftings, your callings, your propheticness, your healing, your money. Everything has to flow through you. Just a channel. That's how you get blessed. You actually get blessed as a byproduct, don't you? But if you want your prophetic realm to increase, what do you have to do? Prophesy. If you want your, you know, prophetic realm to increase today, go find a few people to prophesy over. If you want to have more visions, go and have some visions for people. But I want to tell you something. I want to give you a key. It's so simple. See, people make the spiritual realm so difficult, or they make it sound difficult by not explaining things. You know what I mean? Let's get in the spirit. Well, some people's like, what's that mean? Well, we could talk to angels today. Well, how'd you do that? See, not many people explained Well, let's go in chariots. Okay, everyone close their eyes and go in chariots. But most of the people are like, well, what's that, you know? And so you do have to explain things to people. I like to explain things to people so they can get it. You can't get set free unless you understand something, I don't believe. I mean, you can get set free, but then get it back again later on because you didn't understand what happened. So I like people to understand. So I'm going to pick on Sue because she's right here and she loves me. She doesn't mind what I do, within reason. So Sue, Sue's spirit man, whoa, that's really strong, is eternal, is that right? Yes. Your spirit man, he's eternal. The rest is very pretty, but like, it's going to, you know, fade a little bit, put it nicely. So your spirit man, that's the real you, isn't it? Like that, the new, born again you, that's the real you, because that's eternal. Is that correct? So, Sue's spirit man, this is making me drunk. I better pick someone else. they're just as bad. Okay. Your spirit man actually lives in the spirit realm, right? He doesn't like come in and out of the spirit realm. That's where he lives. That's the real you, right? That's the real you. Your spirit man lives in the spirit realm. Your spirit man actually prophesies night and day, all the time, because he's prophetic. You see, so really, all you're doing is tuning in to your spirit man. You're coming out of your mind realm, where your mind can do this, can have all kind of religious stuff in it. You're coming out of that and you're going to tune in to your spirit man. Just put your antenna up like this. Come on. It's good for you to do childlike things. Come on. Sometimes these guys at the back go. Yeah, that's all it is. You see, I'm trying to show you how easy it is. All you do is tune into your spirit man. So Sue's spirit man prophesies all the time. So any of you could go around the whole room and actually prophesy over everyone. If you just believe, that's all it is. Sue's spirit man actually has visions continually, day and night. There's visions that go through your spirit continually, all the time, because that's where he lives. So anyone in here, actually you could go around this whole room and have a vision for everyone if you just tune in. That's how easy it is. People get upset when I say it's so easy. You know, it can't be. As somebody actually said to me a while ago, Kathy, what's the catch? I said, it's not a catch. Well, there's got to be a catch. It can't be that easy. As we'd all be doing it. And I said, exactly. We're all supposed to be doing it. But you see, in people's minds, when you come to talk about the angels and the heavenly visitations and the chariots and all that kind of thing, in the back of a lot of people's minds, they think, well, that's for him and her. They're those kind of spirit people. You ever thought like that? But it's not true. The only difference is some people believe it and some people don't. That's the only reason, because everything we receive in the spirit realm is by faith. Everything. You can't earn anything, can you? Do you ever earn anything from God? No. When you got saved, because you presented your little resume. No, you had nothing. And Jesus qualified you, right? He qualified you, guess what, 100%. He took the test and passed it. There's not another test. There's not another test. So I'm so qualified. See, I like to get people to say things because it helps you remember. I'm so qualified. I mean, let the devil hear you. He doesn't want you to think you're qualified. Because if you're not qualified, you'll stop receiving, won't you? He's very tricky. So, Sue's spirit man has visions continually. Sue's spirit man actually lives in the heavenly realms. Wow, that's where he lives. That's the real you, honey. That's where your spirit man lives, in the heavenly realms. He didn't jump out and in like Jack in the Box. That's where he lives. That's the real you. Say the real me. That's the real you. So that's why it's not hard. You can show people, you know, how to have visitations, because guess what? Heaven, that's your home. That's your home. We're citizens. It says the Bible says our conversation in heaven is in heaven, but the word is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. So you're not New Zealanders who happen to be Christians. You're Christians who God happened to plant in New Zealand for a season. But your citizenship is in heaven. You see, so you can have heavenly visitations. You just have to tune in. God's not hiding anything from us. He wants us to enjoy the kingdom. You know, Jesus died and rose again. He left us an inheritance. He didn't say, well, you know, you can have that bit, and you can have a bit, and you can have a bit of that, and you can have a bit of that. No, he left us the whole realm of the Spirit to live in. It's up to you whether you get hold of that or choose a little comfort zone. Because it can get a bit uncomfortable out there, because you have to move out in faith a little bit. How many of you ever stepped out on a limb before? Well, a few of you. Actually, it's not that hard. You can always crawl back again. It's when you step out on a limb and then you hear the sound of the saw behind you. That's happened a few times to me. Then it gets adventurous, doesn't it? So, Spirit Man, so she can have heavenly visitations. Spirit Man lives! She didn't qualify. Jesus qualified her, so she doesn't have anything to worry about. And the chariots of God. Some people, you heard me talk about the chariots. Well, God, you know, God loves to show you what he's doing. He's your dad. He loves to show you what he's doing in different places, or take you in heavenly places. I love it because God's so personal, you know, with his chariots. Actually, this lady emailed me last night. She says to me, she'd been in my meeting. I said, we can all go in chariots, you see. And I was talking about faith, so she knew what to believe. So she said, I'm so excited. She said, I was believing, and Jesus came down in a chariot right in front of me. I said, and he was smiling and held out his hand. I said, where did you go? She said, oh, was I supposed to go somewhere? Yes. You see, so anyway, he loves to show you what he's doing in other places. He's very personal. And so people have different. And Margaret goes flying. She doesn't have a chariot. I have a golden motorbike. I do. That God gave me when I was with Sidroth. I'm not a motorbike kind of person, but I have this golden motorcycle, and it has an eagle engraved on the side. And it goes zoom, zoom. And the Lord says, jump on. I know it sounds crazy to religious people, but, you know, God, I hate, you know what? God's not religious. And the angels hate religion. Do you know that? The angels hate religious stuff because it distorts the nature of God. That's why they hate religious spirits, because they distort the nature of God in the eyes of the people. He's a good God. Anyway, so let me tell you this little story, because I want to show you that it is for everybody. See, sometimes that's been so strong whilst for you kind of spirit people. It's all right for you, you're kind of that kind of spirit, into that spirit kind of stuff. But now it's for everybody. God didn't leave a different inheritance. Now, there are different ministries in the body and different things like that, but our inheritance is the same. It's the realm of the spirit. Say it after me, the realm of the spirit, supernatural realm. The angels, heavenly visitations, the chariots of God, and all that good stuff. It's meant to be normal. Normal. Part of my life. And it is. And if it's not, you're being ripped off. Seriously. So I just want to prove to you that it's for everybody. Because actually, the last time I went to Sydney House of Worship, when I was over there, they'd already asked me, because I'd been with them a few times, you know, you can take people places in the spirit with you if you can get them on board with you, can't you? If you can get them, you know what I mean, on board with you, then they can go where you go. I've had a whole meeting go in the same chariot, to the same place. It was amazing. I saw that happen. And I've seen like a whole row full of people. They're all gone somewhere in a chariot. They don't know they're all in the same chariot, but they're all making exactly the same movements. It's like, really? Yeah. They all go like this. And they all go, but they don't know they're all doing it. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I went over to Sydney House of Worship. Now, they had already said to me, listen, at the end of the conference, we want to have a chariot meeting. I said, okay. So when the conference kind of finished, it was like the last meeting, and I said, you know, I'm going to pray with the people that want to go in a chariot. And I said, if you're not interested, please don't stay. Because being an observer doesn't help anybody, you see. So I said, if you really... But I just have to back up and fill you in on something. On the way there, on the way to Sydney, I was in Hawaii. Because before Delta had a direct flight from Atlanta, I used to have to go by Hawaii. That's such a hardship. So I have to go by Hawaii. But anyway, so when I was in Hawaii, Bob Jones called me. And he said... Oh, he said, why are you? I said, I'm in Hawaii. I'm going to Sydney. So he said, I have a word for you. I said, okay, well, what is it? So he said, God's given you a Rudolph anointing. I said, what? He said, Rudolph. I said, Rudolph? He said, uh-huh. I said, Rudolph as in reindeer? He said, uh-huh. I said... He said, you know, to lead the way. And then he put the phone down, you see. Now, since then, I've noticed sometimes in the meeting, my nose feels like it's bright red. Now, people tell me it's actually not, but it feels like that. And I know I'm on the right track. Yeah, good. But anyway, so when I got to Sydney, we were having this chariot meeting. I got everyone to lay down on the floor, gave them a little bit of instruction. You know, one great thing is, I tell you a little key to the spirit realm is you have to believe what you begin to see. Write that down and get that. You have to believe what you begin to see. Then you'll see more. Woo! Is that right? If you have a vision and you believe it, if you keep looking at it, you'll see more. If God gives you one line of prophecy, if you speak it out and believe it, you'll get some more because it opens a flow of the spirit in your faith. See, it's really easy, just simple little keys. So next time I see something, I'll believe it. Then I'll see more. That's how it works. That's how the spirit realm works. So, we have this. Now, I want to tell you something. They told me how many people were at that meeting, and it was around 400 people. And I want to tell you this, every single person went in a chariot. You see, now I've done a few meetings like that. That's why you can't tell me it's for some people, because I've proved that that's not true. I've proved that if you can just get people believing a little bit, it's for me, and they will just tune in. It's not difficult. You don't have to earn anything. There's not a test, chariot test. Let's give you a chariot test, you know. Give you an angel test, if you know. It's all by faith. So everybody went in, every single person went in a chariot. We checked everybody went in a chariot because we said, is there anybody who didn't have an experience? There was nobody. So I've done that a few times. That's why I know if you've got any of that mindset, you can dump it right now because it's a lie. That's not true. Now, after we did all this, this lady came to me, because what I'm trying to say is God is so personal, you see. It's not just a formula or something. This lady came to me and she said, Kathy, she said, I don't know whether to say this. I said, oh, say it. People say really wild things to me, but they always start off with, I don't know whether to say this. I'll say it. She said, Kathy, said, I went in these beautiful places. She said, but I went in a sled. I said, that's fine. I've actually been in a sled myself. She said, oh, she said, but Kathy, he had reindeers. I said, I believe you. She said, it even had bells. I said, I believe you. Now, afterwards, she told me this story. She said, when she was a kid, she was brought up in a very religious home. There was nothing outside of strict Bible stuff. No movies, no books, no, you know, not even kid books. But sometimes when she had to wait for her mom to come home from work, she'd have to wait at her friend's house. And her friend had books. Her friend had a book about Rudolph. And she loved this book because it had beautiful pictures. Seen some of those pictures with Rudolph in the sky and the stars. It's like, she loved this book. It was so beautiful. But of course, she was never allowed to have the book. So years later, when God takes her in a chariot, he sends her a sleigh with reindeers. See, angels can do whatever they want. He said, and she said that changed her life more than any message she ever heard in her entire life. You see, because it was so personal. It was so personal. Who knew that? Nobody would know that. She didn't go around saying, oh, I want you to have a Rudolph book all my life. You see, and so this is what I love about God. He not only knows what you think, he knows why you think it. He not only knows what you thought, he knows what brought you to that conclusion. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, he knows every intricate little thing about you. Everything you think, even if it's a bit weird, he knows why you think that. You see, and he understands it. Isn't that awesome? That's why you can get something from God sometimes, a vision, so it totally undoes a whole string of stuff that you didn't even know you believed that. It's something at the back of your mind. Anyway, oh, coffee. Nice coffee. So, okay. So the spirit realm, you see, spirit man lives there. See, my spirit man, that's where he lives. That's where he lives. Is that correct? He's eternal. He doesn't jump out. It's us that jumps in and out of the spirit sometimes because our mind, you know. In fact, your mind fights with your spirit man, you see, because like Arthur Burt used to say, your spirit man, he used to say the fanatic in the attic. Yes. The fanatic, because the fanatic in the attic is always looking far out. He can see around corners. You see, but the fellow in the cellar, that's your mind. And they're always arguing, aren't they? Like the fellow in the cellar says, do this. And the fellow in the cellar says, are you kidding? And the fanatic in the attic says, you know, do this and do this. Are you kidding me? You know, I was thinking of Arthur Burt, who taught us about the fanatic in the attic. And I'll tell you a quick story. He was on a bus, because we all have this every day. We make choices every day who we're going to listen to, don't we? How many of you in the past, you've done something which was totally unreasonable and it turned out to be a God thing? Yeah. You're like, your mind's going, whoa. But Arthur Burt, he was this old man of God. He died now, but he was in the ministry for 94 years. Gave some people a good run for their money. But he was on a bus in the middle of the English countryside and it was pouring with rain. Well, if you've ever been on a bus in the English countryside on a Sunday afternoon, you know you're very lucky if those buses come every 2 hours. And there's nothing there, except a few houses, you know. So he's on this bus because he's going from town A to town B. And the fanatic in the attic said, Arthur, get off the bus at the next stop. And the fellow in the cellar said, you're out of your mind. There's nothing here. But the fanatic in the attic said, Arthur, get off the bus at the next stop. And the fellow in the cellar said, it's pouring with rain, there's nothing here. But he had to make a decision because the bus stop's coming up. You see, so he jumped up and he rang the little bell, you know, they have. So the bus stopped, came to the bus stop, stopped. The door opens and they let him out. So the bus pulls away and he's standing there in the pouring rain. And the fellow in the cellar said, told you, you know, what are you going to do now? You know. So he just stood there because, you know, what else are you going to do? And this car came by him, And it suddenly went, and it started coming back, was, see, and the windows rolled down, and his head's poked out and said, Arthur Burt, Arthur Burt, oh, it's Arthur Burt, hop in, Arthur. Well, because he was very happy to hop in. And they said, Arthur, we're having this meeting in our village and we've advertised it and everyone's coming. And the guy that's supposed to preach was an American, called from London and said he can't come. And we were saying, oh, God, please send somebody to preach because everyone... And there you were, Arthur. You see, so now I could tell you hundreds of stories like that about Arthur. He even went to Ethiopia like that. But what I'm saying is, if you learn to listen to the fanatic in the attic, you become the answer. Not the problem. Isn't that awesome? So I'm available. Yeah, isn't that awesome? I mean, I have a book on, I have a CD called The Fanatic in the Attic. Okay, now, I think we've finished. Do you understand what I was saying about your spirit, man? Come on. That's all it is. Now, I've had people doing that at the airport. Kathy! Or they're screaming across the airport, mine, mine, mine! I was behind these people a few weeks ago at Atlanta Airport. And they waved to me, you see, and I thought, oh, I don't know them, but they didn't know me, obviously. And they came across going like this. I said, what are you doing? They said, we're duckies. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad they were free anyway. Actually, I have fun at airports. I was on a flight coming home from Houston. I'll never forget this. I loved it. I was in business class, so I have lots of favour. So I have so much favour. And the flight attendant, she said to me, aren't you Kathy Walters? And I said, yeah, people aren't sure sometimes because I change my hair colour. So I said, yeah, she said, I've been in your meeting. And she said, would you come and pray for the other flight attendant? She's a Baptist. So I said, no, I'm not going to pray for a Baptist on an aeroplane because usually Baptists don't want you to pray for them on an aeroplane, especially if they're working. So she said, no, she wants you to. You see, she's hungry. So I said, okay, I went to the front. I said to pray for this little Baptist, another flight attendant. She's a Baptist. I prayed for her. The Lord gave me like a vision and a word of knowledge. And she was like, oh, you know how people are. How did you know that? So I ministered to her. This guy gets up out of business class and he comes and pulls on her jacket, the flight attendant. He said, excuse me, where's our drinks? So she said, could you sit down? We're praying. He said, okay. So he went and sat down. So I finished praying with this guy and I went to sit down by my seat. And as I went past this guy, he pulled my jacket. He said, excuse me. I thought he was going to tell me off. He said, do we all get a wish? I said, why not? So I prayed for everyone for a wish. I love it, don't you? And, you know, the Delta people kind of know me. In the lounge and all those, they know that I pray for people and everything, so they drag people up, you know, little prayer meetings going on in the Sky Lounge, and they're dragging up all the staff. And anyway, I checked in, and I was going to my gate one morning, Friday morning. Now, I know Atlanta like the back of my hand. I know Atlanta Airport, even though it has 8 big terminals. I know it very well. I'm in and out there every week. But I got off the train, you see, and I'm going up the escalator, and suddenly I hear this voice, Kathy, Kathy Walters, Kathy Walters, Kathy Walters. At the top of the escalator, there's a guy there. And I recognize him. He's a bartender from the First Class International Lounge. He said, I've been praying for you to see you this morning, so I need you to pray for me. I said, okay, okay. So we went over to the corner. It's something wrong with his back. I prayed for his back. He's instantly healed. So, oh, praise God, you see. So then he said, I'll take you to your gate. So I showed him my boarding card. He said, you're in the wrong terminal. I've never, ever been to the wrong terminal. So as he was praying, that somehow got me off, led me off the drain. And I'm following what he's praying. Do you understand? When people pray, I mean, Arthur Burt, we would pray for Arthur Burt to come because you couldn't book him. He said he had a fire engine ministry. You can't book fire engines. Excuse me, 3 months' time on 3rd of April, we're going to have a fire, so you don't book fire. You don't. So you couldn't book Arthur, but you just had to pray, you see. You just had to pray, but when you did, he would come. He would respond. His spirit would respond. I mean, my friend would get into faith, and we'd pray for Arthur to come, and she'd make a jar of orange juice, because he only drank orange juice, and she'd put it on the step in faith. And sure enough, in the next few days, Arthur would turn up. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about faith a little bit. Because we have some receiving to do. Now, you have to get it out of your head about earning something. So let me just knock this one on the head. So I don't know, you know, this area. So I should imagine it's like most areas. It's a bit religious around here, some places. But see, a lot of people, a lot of churches, well-meaning, I know, spend a lot of time teaching people or trying to get people to change the old man, improve, be a better Christian. You know what I mean? A lot of messages are geared that way. And guess what? The old man is not changeable. It's not brush-upable. It's not improvable in any way. So do you know what Jesus did? He crucified it. He said, that stinketh. That ain't going to work. So he crucified the old man. See, go and read Romans 6 when you get home. You were crucified with Christ. Not trying to be or going to be. That won't work. There's nothing the old man can do. There's nothing about it that's improvable. So that was part of salvation. He crucified it so that by faith you can walk in the new man who's already created in righteousness and holiness. Is that right? That's why you're free. You see, when we say about being free, it doesn't mean you're free, you can run around or dance or wave a flag. We're not talking about that. I mean, that's good. But freedom is being free from things that interfere or limit you with your relationship to God and your receiving. So free, the old man is crucified, that set you free from condemnation. All right? There's no condemnation, Romans 8. There's no condemnation to those who live in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because we don't live there anymore. We moved. We got translated from that kingdom of darkness and works and law and all that stuff into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where it's light and bright. And there's no condemnation there. And I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit in your life makes you God conscious and not sin conscious. See, we're not supposed to live in a sin conscious realm. That's a religious realm, by the way. If you can get this today, it will set you free from so many things. If you live in a sin conscious realm, you will feel condemnation every day of your life. And if you feel condemnation, what will happen? I can guarantee you won't receive anything. That's how it works. You see, if you feel condemned, you're not going to receive. Because that's how we know we have confidence towards God. See, we have confidence towards God when you're not sin conscious. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me explain it this way. Let me borrow a piece of paper or something. Something, anything. Yeah, okay. See this piece of paper? Yeah, you will see that. This is you. This is you. You were placed in Christ. You were placed in Him. When Jesus was crucified, you were crucified. The old man was crucified. When he was buried, you were buried. And by the way, baptism is not a symbol. It's an experience. because in the, you know, in the baptism, which is a burial, by the way, it's a burial, it cuts off the sin, the flesh and the devil. You know, like the Red Sea was a type of the baptism of a nation. It cut off Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt. So the baptism is supposed to be an experience for you. I mean, in that move of the Spirit, we were, when people got baptized, they got delivered and healed in the water. When, since they left the water, because they saw it, they were, it was a burial of that old man. They got a revelation. When people get revelation, they do crazy things, like banging on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, I've got to be baptized right now! You come back at 8, no, now! I got my towel! Because they had such a revelation, they were being buried. It was a burial. And when he rose from the dead, you rose with him in newness of life. You're in him, you see. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he did. That's called salvation, folks. Salvation is just having, not having your sins forgiven. Actually, Jesus didn't die on the cross to forgive your sins. He died on the cross to crucify the old man. You see, so by faith you walk in the new man who's already created in righteousness and holiness. You can't keep your joy if you live in a sin-conscious realm. You'll be walking around like this, struggling and trying. Trying can be very trying. So you'll end up doing this. You can tell when people do that, they kind of look glazed. But you see, what I just told you, you have to get it. It's not good getting it here. You've got to ask God, put that in my spirit so that I know it. That's what freedom is. See, it's free from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, sin consciousness, and self-consciousness too, by the way. The anointing makes you free from self-consciousness. Is that right? You can't be self-conscious and God-conscious. Choose. Nathan was saying last night, see, about being drunk. People used to go to the bar, get drunk. Well, when they did that, they didn't care, did they? People get drunk, they don't care. They get very generous too, by the way. I'll buy everyone a drink! And they begin to behave a little bit freer. See, that's just a substitute. The Holy Spirit does that too. He sets you free from self-consciousness. You know, where I come from, my part of London was very proper. I've lived in America for about 38 years now. But when we first came into the things of the Spirit, well, it was very extremely proper area. And my family very proper. So, you know, you didn't do anything to offend anyone. That was a no-no. You know, don't talk to people you don't know because that could be offensive. You know, who are you? That's how it was like, who are you? Talk to me. You know? So when, you know, we were in this revival and the Lord told us to go take the revival to the streets, we were terrified. We had a prayer meeting in my house. I mean, in the meetings was very free. It was so free, and the glory of the Lord was there. People didn't even make it into the building. They'd fall out in the spirit in the street. But it was just, you know. But when he told us to take this out there, we were like, because that would embarrass people. You didn't do things like that in the street. You know, embarrassing. But we went out, you know. We had this prayer meeting in the house to pray for boldness. And after about 6 weeks, God said, why do you want boldness in the house? No, oh, you mean we've got to... So we went out, well, I'll tell you what, we took some musicians. There was about 20 people. The police said we could have the corner in Kingston. You know, we were on the corner. This is what it was like. Talk about prophetic. It was pathetic. See, because you don't want to attract attention, because that's, you know, it would embarrass people. So we had guitarists that were like this. Like, honey in the rock. Because we were trying not to be noticed. You know, but because we were in a group, people like crossed over. Because that's embarrassing to have a group right there anyway, you know. But we thought, this is no good. We just got to do this, you know. So we kept at it. In a few weeks, we got really free. You see, people were getting saved and healed and all kinds of stuff was happening. But then a few weeks later, I was on my own in the high street. You know, in England, the high street Saturday is like your mall at Christmas. You know, there's loads of people there and I was out there. I'm walking along, you know, singing to myself like you do. Like honey in the rock, like honey in the rock, Jesus. Now, one thing the Lord taught us in the revival was you have to be the same out there as you are in here, or else you'll end up with religious spirits. It's religious spirits that makes people different in here than out there. It's like, have you ever seen people get up here and they've got a different voice? Have you ever seen that? It's very weird. Different voice. We had some friends in Ohio. We knew this pastor for years and years and years. Preached in his church. He'd been on a holiday with us. Stayed in our house. We went on a cruise with him. But I'd never heard him preach. Well, while we were there ministering in his church, big church in Ohio, my husband said, I'm so tired. Will you preach this morning? And I'll preach tonight. So he said, okay. So he gets up here, my friend that I've known for 20 years. And he says, we are so happy that you are here today. I'm like, what? Maybe he's just opening like that, you know. So we are going to read John chapter 3, verse 13, you see. And I think my eyes were like this, you know. And but continued the whole time, I'm like, you see, like, where's the other one? And I was, you know, I mean, it scared me. I'd never seen anything like that. We went out for lunch and, you know, I'm looking at him like, he's back to normal now. I'm like, where's the other one? You know, is the other one coming back or what? You know. Religious spirits can actually sit in the jaw. So, anyway. So, where did I get to? Where did I get to? Before I got off on. What? The high street. I was in the high street, yeah. Like honey. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Kathy, you know, when you're in the meeting, you sing that really loud. He said, you put your hands in the air and everything. I said, yeah, no. He said, well, why don't you do that now? I said, because I'm by myself, in case you hadn't noticed. He said, well, you don't want another religious spirit, do you? I said, no, I got delivered from 8 of them already. Because I did. I can't just 8 religious spirits in one day. Then some more. Because they're like a little chain gang, aren't they? All linked together. Dead words, dead letters. False standards. Dead words go in your ears. Dead words go in your eyes from the books you read. False responsibility. False words, like a little chain gang. Anyway. So I thought, no, I don't want to, you see. So, no, I want to be the same. So I put my hand in the air. Put my bag on my shirt. Put my hand in the air. I said, like honey in the... And people were like, so I went, pretended I was waving to someone. But then I felt really bad because you do, because I'd never be able to come here again. And this is my favorite shop. I remember it every time, you know what I mean? That's what I think of. And if, so I said, I'm just going to close my eyes, you know, and whatever happens, happens. So I closed my eyes, put them back out of the shirt, I said, sing at the top of my voice, like honey in the rock! Anyway, I didn't bump into anyone, so I guess they scattered. But anyway, suddenly this spirit of laughter fell on me. I was drunk, you know. I was laughing hysterically. Well, I caught hold of the nearest thing, which was a lamppost. So now I'm hanging on to this lamppost, you see, and laughing hysterically. But guess what happened? It was so strange, because it was the opposite of what normally would happen. Those people would cross the street immediately, because that was embarrassing. But they were all gathering around me. See, that laughter, when it's Holy Spirit, it's infectious. It affects people. In fact, I've got some interesting stories about that, which I'll tell you when I talk about the angels. But anyway, they all just gathered around me. We're laughing too. We're laughing with me. So, you know, I shared my testimony a little bit, gave out some tracts. So anyway, say no religious spirits for me. Thank you. That's anointed now. So anyway, this is the thing, though. If you want to come out of the religious realm seriously, you have to get that revelation that you were crucified with Christ. The old man is not changeable. By faith, you walk in the new man. You see, and you live in a God-conscious realm. Your first calling is to enjoy God. You can't enjoy God if you're in a sin-conscious realm, can you? Like, you see, you put full standards on your own self. Because God sometimes isn't so worried about stuff that you think, you know, God responds to the heart. I mean, when we were praying for revival in the beginning, you know, we were fundamentalists, fighting fundamentalists, ultra-Calvinistic, Puritanistic, theological Calvinists. We were fundamentalists, well, but we were also very worldly, and we had a prayer meeting because we were hungry for God. We didn't know anything. But we, and my group, you know, they were like chorus girls and actors and movie directors, people like that, worldly bunch. But we were hungry. And this is what we would do when we were praying for revival. We'd arrange to start the prayer meeting in time to stop the prayer meeting in time to have a glass of whiskey and a cigarette and watch the horror movie. That's where we were at. But guess what? God showed up. Big time we got hit with the glory of God. You see, he didn't take any notice of that stuff. Because, oh, you've got to get rid of this. You go, no, you, no, when God comes, it'll go. That's what you've got to do, is you've got to do that. No, no, when God comes, it gets taken care of, doesn't it? We never thought about doing that again, never entered our heads. We were so excited about what was going on, you see. So receiving, how many of you know you have things to receive? Okay. I've got Russell's Bible here. It's got very small print. And he's got things different in his Bible to me. I mean, he's got it all moved around in a different place, though. Say, I receive by faith. Yeah. See, how many, how many of you honestly have thought, like, God used somebody that in your mind you kind of like had a question about if they were, you know, don't know if that person's really qualified. In fact, I said to somebody a while ago, I just said blessings. This lady says to me, I don't know if you're qualified to give me blessings. I said, well, don't take them then, that's easy. But I mean, anyway, I'm explaining to you what faith is, because you receive by faith, whether you like it or not. That's how you receive. You know, there's not a test. Sorry. If there was, you know what? If we could do anything ourselves, Jesus wouldn't have been on a cross. Would he? He would have given you a list. Here, you do this, and you work on that, and you work on these things, you'll be okay. He didn't. He crucified the old man. So everything we receive, it's not because of anything you can earn. You can't earn anything. I don't care if you fast for 180 days. You'll probably be dead anyway. But you're not going to earn anything that way. You're not going to earn anything. I mean, it might help you, you know, get your attention more on God or something like that. But it doesn't make God do anything. In fact, a very well-known preacher that you would all know, he emailed me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, pray for me. Pray, because I'm believing, I'm going to get a word from Chuck Pierce, you see. So I said, okay, I agree with you. He said, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So I wrote him back and I said, would you think that's going to make him hear, make God talk better? You know, or make Stephen hear better? He said, oh no, well, I won't bother then. You see, because you receive by faith, but there was still this old thing that clicked in. If I do this, you know, if I do that, it's going to make God do a bit more or something. But it doesn't. Your faith does. God loves faith. That's why your children can receive. You know, David's had hundreds of kids 3, 4, 2, lifted up into heaven for hours. They didn't pass the test. Okay, so Mark 11, famous faith chapter. I have to keep an eye on the time. What's the time now? Okay. Now, this is the chapter where Jesus and the disciples, actually they came from Bethany. Let me find where it starts. Okay, so they're leaving Bethany. This is in verse 12. Can somebody reach me those Kleenexes? Thanks ever so, honey. Thank you. You know, these days if I drop anything and I have to bend down, I look around to see if there's anything else to do while I'm there. So anyway, Jesus and the disciples are leaving Bethany now because they're going to the temple. And as they walked along, Jesus was hungry. And I might as well, you're laughing now, have a drink of coffee. Well, it says Jesus was hungry. Now listen, in the distance, he saw a fig tree. Okay? In the distance. Now, when Jesus got to the fig tree, there was no figs. So he got upset with the fig tree. And although it wasn't the fig season, apparently, because he made a demand on the tree, it should have been able to produce something. We had no figs. Now, the other thing is this. See, they weren't casually walking past this fig tree. It says the fig tree was in the distance. So they had to make an effort to get to the fig tree. It wasn't right there. It says it was in the distance. So they walked a ways. Do you understand? They walked to get there. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. I mean, poor fig tree. Anyway, so then they go up to the temple. And in the morning, they're coming down again. They come back again. And Peter, I like Peter. I'm not like Peter. I have friends like Peter. I tell them, you have a go, and if you don't drown, I'll have a go. So Peter noticed the fig tree. He said, oh my gosh, it worked. Well, I think he got a bit excited. I don't think he stood there and said, oh, behold, the fig tree. It's withered away. He said, oh, look at the fig tree, it works. You know, they didn't go around talking King James English, you know. Expressionless. This lady said to me, because I said Jesus yelled at the Pharisees, you see, because he did. She said, she came to me after and she said, I don't believe Jesus ever raised his voice. I said, really? I said, do you think he said to the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil, full of every evil thing? I said, you think he took that whip and said, shoo? I said, look, lady, if you take a whip to someone, I'd assume you're pretty mad. Anyway, I saw what she was seeing. She was seeing Jesus in a long white nightie, you know, with a little lammy. So Jesus said something interesting to Peter. Is he so small? He said, oh, okay. A fig tree. Look, the fig trees. Oh my gosh. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, you probably already know that actually says have the faith of God. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He's talking about faith now, okay? He's talking about faith now. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will be done, it will happen, be done for him. Therefore, what you ask in prayer, believing you have received it, you will receive it. That's what he said. Now, that's basically what faith is. So I'm going to explain it a bit more to you. First of all, though, I thought it was interesting. You know, how many of you have some kind of mountain right now? Okay, a few people have a mountain. How many of you ever had a mountain? How many of you think in the future you could possibly get a mountain? That's life, isn't it? From time to time, there are mountains. And I tell you what most of us do with the mountain. We start a prayer chain. Call the church, start a prayer chain. Soon everyone's praying about your mountain because it's getting a little bigger now. Get on the internet now. Internet prayer chains. Soon people in Seattle and London are praying for your mountain. Then you call the elders of the church to anoint the mountain. And we do all this rigmarole, don't we? And Jesus said, if you have a mountain, speak to it. That's all he had to say about it. If you have a mountain, you get the anointing, you speak to it. Because you know what? Your words have power. The Creator is in you, right? The Creator is in you. When you speak, your words do actually have power to create. So be careful what you say. Because you see, when you declare things and you speak things, you're actually creating a pathway that you are going to walk in. You are going to walk in it. You're creating it. That's how much power your words have. You see, because the Father, God, creator of the universe, lives in you. So your power, your words can bring down strongholds, can raise the dead. You know what I noticed now, the last 6 months in particular, that like if I see something, so I'm talking to you, and I see something like you need deliverance. If I just say it, even in passing, you'll get delivered. You'll leave. You see, that's how much power our words, if you believe. Because everything you do is by faith, right? So Jesus said, when you pray, let me read it again, then I could ask you a question. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So let me explain this to you first of all. How many of you have felt in the past you've been praying for something and you didn't feel like you had enough faith? You know, you've been praying for someone that's sick or you've been praying for something, you didn't feel like you had enough faith. Put your hand up. Yeah, that's everybody. But so I want to tell you a little secret here. You see, this is the truth is that when you got born again, when that seed of the Spirit, supernatural seed, that it was placed in you, which caused you to be a new creature, born again, in that seed contains God's faith. You see, God's supernatural faith is already in you, but it came with that seed. It's in that seed. You see, so say God's faith is in me. You have to settle that. Don't just say, put your hand in and say, settle that. God's faith is in me. So, whether you feel in or out or good or bad or up or down, it's irrelevant. Is that right? It's irrelevant. But what the enemy does, because he's a strategist, he knows how we tick sometimes, you know. So this is what happens, you see. Maybe you feel You get up one morning, okay? God says to you, I want you to call and pray for Sister Susie. You say, oh, okay, yeah. You get on the phone, you pray, and find a couple of other people to pray for, and it's all flowing, you see? But maybe you get up the next day, and you don't feel so hot. Maybe you had a bad night. Maybe you got a headache. Maybe you had little babies all night. You see, so you're like... You look in the mirror because you've got a thing there on the mirror in the bathroom. I can do all things through Christ. And his face looks at you and says, you've got to be kidding. And God says to you, I want you to call Sister Susie and pray for her. And you say, oh, I need prayer myself. And you're useless because you don't feel like you've got anything. You don't feel like you've got any faith. You can't pray for anybody. You see, but the truth is, God's faith is still in you. It didn't go anywhere. You can still operate in faith, whether you feel like it or not. You don't have to feel something to operate in faith. Faith is the opposite of that, actually. Faith is not a feeling. You get good feelings when you get into faith, but good feelings don't bring you into faith. The truth does. The truth is, God's faith is in me. It's not jumping in and out of you. It's not going anywhere. Whether you feel good, bad, fat, thin, black, white, green, yellow, it doesn't make any difference. God's faith is in you. That's the truth. And Jesus said, the truth sets you free from what may be true in the natural. It may be true you don't feel like you have any faith. It may be true you don't feel very good. Maybe you feel like you're this, that, and the other. But the truth is, God's faith is in you. And you can move out in that faith if you would just step out of yourself. Forget about your silly self. How many of you, yeah, you got up Sunday morning or something, don't want to go to church. Anyway, you've got a headache. Want to stay in bed and watch a movie. But you've got to get up because it's your turn to hand out the things. So you drag yourself along. You know, because there's a greeter there, all smiling. How you doing, sis? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you still kind of feel a bit like a dog. And suddenly God uses you and you're shocked. But he didn't use you because you qualified. He uses you because you're his kid. Or you went to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and you all prayed up. And the anointing comes on everyone except you. You're like, what did I do? But you didn't do anything, but God doesn't have to use you all the time. Sometimes he wants to use someone else. Sometimes he wants to use himself. Ever thought about that? One thing we've learned in that revival, you know, if it's not happening, just make a cup of tea. Because we had no program. If we missed it, it was bad. You know, everyone has a bad meeting from time to time. You can't shoot yourself in the head because it's not a good meeting. There's always another meeting. Oh, take a deep breath. Just let the religious stuff go, you know. It's not helping you. Religious spirits don't help you. We're going to shoot Rover later. Rover's that little poverty spirit you bring to church. Like a little pet. It's your friend now. Come on, Rover, we're going to church today. Someone sitting in our seat, bite them. But you know what? Rover's got fleas. You have to shoot Rover. Sorry. I say you have to take Rover to the pound, but somebody said some nice Christian would go and get him out again. It's true. It's true. Okay. Where did I get to? So, are we agreed then? There's nothing wrong with your faith. Agree? There's nothing wrong with your faith. It's God's faith. Okay. You just have to believe, choose to believe is there. You know, what you believe are choices. You choose what to believe. You know what, I say this morning, don't wait till you're sick before you decide what you believe about healing. I decide now so that if you get sick, you know what to believe right away. You know, like, you know. You have to say, no! You know what the doctor said to me? Well, I had this rash. My husband said, I'm going to Hawaii. My husband said, I think you've just go and check out what that is. He's like, itchy. I went to the doctor. I said, what? So he said, you got shingles. I said, no, I don't. He said, you do. You're probably going to be in pain for about 3 months. I said, I'm not. He said, you sure? I'm going to give you some medicine. I said, no, it's okay. Because I was mad already. I was so mad at that thing. I was mad at him for making that suggestion. He's like, <"Whoa." laughs> anyway, I said, that's okay. He said, you'll be back a couple of days. I said, I'll be in Hawaii. Anyway, but you know, I got on that plane to Hawaii. I prayed in tongues for 10 hours. I was so mad. I was so mad. I said, you spirit of witchcraft, get off of me in the name of Jesus. I was praying in tongues. They kept giving me glasses of wine, you know, like, here, Mrs. Waters, have another glass of wine, Mrs. Waters. I prayed in tongues. I was so mad. So you have to get angry at the devil. I was mad. Anyway, guess what? Next day I had no shingles. No, that thing is scared of me. What? Would have been Chardonnay, they know me right now. No, but anyway, you see, you have to get mad. You can't, we tolerate stuff. And we roll over too easy. Sometimes you have to, get out of my barley field. And then I feel sorry for my optician, he's a young guy. He sees me coming, he's like, I was in there just a couple of months ago. Said, Mrs. Waters, you need to have an eye exam because you haven't had an eye exam for 3 years. So a slight, anyway. And he said, you need to do it now. I said, okay. So I went in there. He said, by now. I don't mean by now. He said, at your age. I'm like, excuse me? He said, you'll probably have some glaucoma. I said, what's that? He explained it. I said, no, I don't. He said, you do. I said, I don't. He said, well, I'm going to look. I said, go ahead. He said, oh, it's fine. I said, I told you, it's fine. He said, but you probably got some cataracts. I said, I don't. He said, you do. I said, I don't have any cataracts. He said, I'm going to check. I said, check. He said, actually, your eyes are perfectly healthy. I said, I told you that when I came in here. That they're perfectly healthy. He said, okay. He's looking at me. The other young doctor goes and he says, you've got green eyes. I said, I don't. I have blue eyes. Should you have green eyes? I said, I have blue eyes. I said, I need to get out of here, you know. The other doctor said, I just put yellow drops in her eyes. Yellow and blue make green. He said, oh, I thought he's getting so ridiculous, you know. So anyway. You know, I'll tell you something. There's a lot of power in suggestion. Because of who makes the suggestion. You see, but something's got to rise up in you. You see, you've got to know who you are and what you got. That's why you have to settle what you believe. Don't be vague about what you believe. You've got to know what you believe, you see. So if something happens, something's got to rise up in you. Otherwise, it won't work. Okay, so Jesus said, when you pray, believe, right? Not when you pray, wait and see, and if it happens, then believe it. So when you say to the man, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes what he says will happen, it will be done. So listen now, if the problem is not your faith, which it's not, is it? Because there's nothing wrong with your faith, is there? Nothing. So there's nothing wrong with my faith. Absolutely. So what's the problem if sometimes we don't receive according to that? It says, if you believe and do not doubt. So let me tell you what happens. I want to explain something to you. Because if you can get this, you will be able to receive a lot of things you couldn't receive before. Your faith is like an artesian well. Springing up, that's what the Bible says, like a fountain. Is that right? So your faith is in you already. It's like an artesian well, actually. Everything operates by faith. So now, supposing I got a big old boulder and I put it over the mouth of that well, what would happen? What would happen? It would just maybe trickle out a bit underneath. But it wouldn't be springing up, would it? You see, so what happens to you is this. Because, you know, the devil doesn't want you to receive, does he? God gets glory when you receive the promise. Is that right? God gets glory when we receive the promise. And we're full of joy and, you know, glory of God because we're receiving from Dad, from our Dad. So he doesn't want like us to receive. So the devil actually can actually throw things at your faith level. He can throw things in the spirit at you, a spirit of doubt. See, here's the artesian well. So the devil can come along and put something on top of it. Doubt, fear, unbelief. Fear of the future, fear of all different kinds of fears and phobias and doubts and discouragement. You see, and he'll throw those at your faith. So what happens then is you feel, and then you feel like you haven't got any faith. But it's not true. It's not true. See, the devil can only get you if you can get you to believe a lie. He can only throw you a lie, like a hook. And if you take the hook, or you take the bait, and you start believing the lie, you will lose out. If you refuse the lie, if you refuse the bait, there's nothing he can do. Because he's the father of lies. His territory is that of a lie. He can only operate in lies. There's no truth in him. So the only thing he can do is to get you into the lie, to make you buy into the lie. Then he'll knock you around. It's like, you know, when I backslid very badly and I lived in Bondi and I was engaged to someone in the mafia years ago when I was young. I'd go to the beach sometimes. They had their little white pointer sharks. I remember being on the beach. The sirens went 100 times one Saturday afternoon. Because those little white pointer sharks were there. Now, those, if you, when they were there, if you got into that water, you're dead meat. Because you're in their territory. Right? If you take that shark and put it in the parking lot, guess what? It might make a little sound, but it can't do anything. Can it? Because it doesn't, it can't live in that realm. If you stay in the truth, there's nothing the devil can do because he can't operate in the truth. He can't operate there. He's totally dysfunctional. In the truth, there's no truth there in him. You know what to do. You see, so your battle really is staying in the truth. You have to settle. You have God's faith in you. I'll try and be quick, Hushog. God showed me this, but some of you heard this before. But when I moved to Macon, actually Bob Jones called me, Macon, Georgia. It's like the bucket on the Southern Bible Belt, about an hour south of Atlanta. Bob Jones called me, he said, that area where you are, there's a spirit of doubt over that area. But I forgot he said that. You see, I mean, he said that. I said, oh, okay, but I forgot about it. And so what happened over the next while was my daughters... they always liked pets. You know, most kids want pets, don't they? Boys like dogs and hamsters, rats. Little guys like kittens, bunnies, fluffy things. So my daughters, my two daughters, they always had some kind of pets, you know. So while they're both at home with me, who's the first one? Lisa. Oh, somebody gives Lisa one of those rabbits with the long ears. Long-eared, floppy-eared rabbits or something. This rabbit lives on our veranda. So it runs up and down on the second floor. It didn't leap off, so had a little bit of brains there somewhere. It did eat my wicker furniture. But anyway, so Lisa goes away. She said, "Mum, you have to take care of the rabbits." I said, I can do that. She said, "You just feed it." Like, okay, okay. Well, you have to understand that by nature, my good Kathy, they're the new man, Kathy, is very compassionate, actually. You see, but sometimes I think, like, not normally. So I'm looking at this rabbit. I'm in the house by myself. I look at this rabbit, and I thought, this rabbit was actually made for the grass. And it would love to have a little run on the grass because it was created for the grass. So I wrapped it up in a blanket, you see, took it outside. We have 3 acres. I put it down, have a little run. You see, I'd be so happy. It's so happy bobbing around there. But I forgot about our dog. We had German Shepherd. Can't believe its eyes. This thing bobbing around, you see. And I thought, oh! See, and the dog made a charge for the rabbit. I tried to get the rabbit, but the dog got there first. But the rabbit did escape, and the rabbit ran off in the woods with the dog following it, you see. So I'm standing there praying for the rabbit. The dog came back empty-handed. I checked its mouth, see if it had any fluff. It didn't, so I locked it in the shed. And I'm standing there waiting, probably for half an hour, waiting for the rabbit to come back. Because I'm thinking it knows where it lives. It's onto a good thing here, you know. So I waited, and guess what? Didn't come back. So I did what all good English people do in a crisis. Yes, I went and made a cup of tea, of course, because English people really do think something magical is going to happen when you make this cup of tea. I made a cup of tea, came back out. I'm running around, rabbit, bunny, bunny, but it's gone. So when Lisa came back, I had to tell her, you know, I meant well, Lisa. My kids told me I need to write a book called I Meant Well. I said, "I meant well, Lisa." She said, "Mom, okay, well, that's it. We are not looking after my animals ever again." I said, "Okay, well, yes." Anyway. The next thing that Faith has, a raccoon. Cute little guy. Baby little raccoon. He's all house-chained and everything. She says, "Mom, I have to go away to be in a wedding. You have to take care of the raccoon. You have to take care of Racky." I said, "Okay." I love him. He's on a leash. He sleeps in a certain place. He has a little potty place. I loved him. He's so cute. But the next second day, I'm thinking, this raccoon was made to climb trees. I don't think he's ever climbed a tree. He would be so happy. You see, wouldn't it? I would love it. So I took it out on the leash and I let it run up a tree. You see, when I'm waiting at the bottom, I thought it was going to have a little forage around and then come back again. But you see, but after a while, I couldn't see the raccoon. So I thought it's jumped to another tree. So I'm running around the tree, so I can't see it. So I went and made a cup of tea. Then I came back and I look around, it's gone. Yes, yeah, gone. So, you know, Faith came back, I had to tell her, "Faith, you know, I meant well. But the raccoon's lost up a tree somewhere." She said, "Mom, you're never going to look after my animals ever again. And when I get married, you're not going to look after my children." Now, I did look after her children, but she'd call me every half an hour. "Hey, where are they? I want to speak to them." So, there's a purpose to all this. I'm nearly out of coffee, though. The next thing that happens is Lisa has a fish, one of those bright fish, fighting fish. It's in a bowl. She said, "I'm going away, Mom. There's nothing you can do to the fish. You can't put it, you won't put it on the grass or run it up a tree. You just feed it like this." I can do that. Show me. I did that. Okay. So she goes away. Well, the next day, where I live in Georgia, doesn't really have a winter. So the fleas don't die off in the winter, you see. There's a lot of fleas. And the dog's been in the house. Guess what? Now we've got some fleas in the house. But I know what to do. Because I've seen my husband set off flea bombs. So we have quite a big house. I set off 3 flea bombs. And I took off to the mall, you see. Had lunch with my friend. I came back. Guess what? All the fleas are dead. So is the fish. The fish is upside down like this. I thought, oh, no, you know. So I poked. I said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. I don't know if you've ever done this. I thought I would help God if I turned it the right way up, you see. So I went and got my eyebrow tweezers and I turned it the right way up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, it just went, phew. I did it three times. In the name of Jesus. Phew. So I realized that's not working. You know, I'm not one of those patient people that pray for like 3 hours. Like, it didn't work, that's it. So I gave it a Christian burial, you know. And I thought, all is not lost, because I can get another one. So we got another one. Put it in the bowl, washed out the bowl, so it didn't have that film on it anymore. So it's in the bowl, you know. Looks okay. Lisa comes home the next day. She's sitting in the kitchen, sitting with her coffee. She's looking at the fish like this. She said, Mom, what happened to the fish? I said, fish? She said, Mom, it's a different color. I said, oh. So I told her, that's it. You're looking after my animals. Well, the last thing that happens was she has this cat. You see, a Himalayan cat. Beautiful cat. And she said to me, the vet's going to charge me $60 a day to take care of the cat while I'm away, so you have to take care of the cat, Mom. I said, I can do that. I love cats. I said, she's, I'm going to write everything down. I said, Lisa, I've been taking care of cats before you were born. She said, well, where are they? The last one's still up a tree in Florida. Because we had to leave it up there, it wouldn't come down. Anyway, so I've got the cat, you know. I love cats, actually. My husband won't let me have any animals at all, but he's got a dog himself, and that dog helped me get someone delivered a couple of weeks ago. I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, so, you know, the cat's fine. But I had to go on Friday to speak at a conference, a GLOW conference in Atlanta. So I said to the guy in our office, when you leave, can you take the cat? Because I put the cat in the guest bathroom downstairs where Margaret stayed. You see, because we had a book delivery. So I locked the cat there so that it wouldn't run out when they had the doors open. So I said to the guy in the office, can you take the cat out of that bathroom and put it in the laundry room because there's food and everything in there? He said, okay. Well, I came back Monday. The cat's still in the bathroom. He forgot. And the cat's sick because it hasn't had any water. The lid of the potty's down. The little bit of water he had, it was spilt. It wasn't there. So the cat's sick. My husband took it to the vet. The vet misdiagnosed it, sent it home. And the next day it's really sick. I mean, just laying there. So we took it back. My husband called me from the vet and he said, there's nothing they can do because the cat's kidneys have failed. You see. I said, do something! Let me speak to the vet. I said, do something. He said, I can put it on a kidney machine, but it's not going to make its kidneys work again. I said, put it on the machine. I said, put it on the machine. He said, it's expensive. I said, put it on the machine. So I can't have this conversation with Lisa. I mean, now he's got the cat on this kidney machine, you see. But he said, it's not going to make its kidneys work. You know, technically, it's kind of over. I'm just keeping it. You see, so I should keep the machine. Saturday, and, you know, I was trying to pray, but I felt so bad. You know, I felt really bad about it. So, you know, I'm like, oh, God, can you do something about the cat, please? So pitiful. Then he called me on Saturday. He said, Mrs. Waters, look, we need just to take this cat off the machine. Because it can't do anything. It's just costing a lot of money. I said, give me half an hour. Because when you're desperate, half an hour's a long time. He said, okay. So, you know, I said, God! Because sometimes there's not time for all those religious prayers, is there? Remember Peter out of the boat and he's drowning, isn't he? He says, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would incline your ear to your humble servant. He said, Jesus, help me! Sometimes you have to do that. Ladies know about that. So I was on this plane, you know, coming from New York. It's going through this storm. Bang, it's banging up and down like this. People are screaming. I learned something. If one person screams, everyone's going to scream. Everyone's screaming. It's going like this, the plane. That's my CD. Where did I get to? Oh, I was on this plane. The plane's going boom, boom. You know, people are screaming. This lady in front of me, she's got this rosary, praying around this rosary, you see. I thought, well, at least someone's praying, you know. At least she's not screaming like everyone else. And suddenly the plane goes boom, bang. And she threw the beads in the air and said, Jesus! I leaned forward, I said, I think he heard that one. He did, because it straightened out after that. Anyway, so the vet's waiting me for me to make this decision, you see. I said, God, you know. And the Lord reminded me what Bob Jones said to me, there's a spirit of doubt around you. I thought, oh, that's what that is. Because there's nothing wrong with my faith. See, so the truth set me free from that thing I felt. So I started to do some warfare against this spirit of doubt. In the name of Jesus, you get off me, you spirit of doubt, you hear me? I'm screaming my head off. So I had no breath left. I sat down in the chair. But it lifted. Woo! And I started screaming at the cat then. You live and not die, you hear me? You can't teach you walk right now! Then I sat down, I was exhausted. And the vet called me, he said, Mrs. Waters. I said, yes. He said, you'll never believe this. I said, try me. He said, there's nothing wrong with the cat. Cat's running around all over the place. He said, now listen, I've never seen this happen before, so I'd like to keep the cat for a few days and observe it. So I said, I'm going to get it right now because Lisa's coming home. So I went down, I got the cat. I put the cat in the front seat, you know, next to me. I said, little do you know. It did know. Whenever I went near it after that, it would go, shh. My husband said, it doesn't like you. My husband's not a great sympathetic person, you know. I had to have his cat put to sleep because it had, you know, it was old. Every time we drove past the vet where I took it, he said, that's that place you murdered my cat. It was in pain, it was old. And the cat, you know, if I went to the cat, it would jump up somebody else and like cling on to them. He'd say, I told you, it doesn't like you. Don't just leave the cat alone. Or it would hide behind the, you know, I'd come and it would get behind the door like this. So I thought, in all fairness, I do need to tell Lisa the truth at some point. So I waited a couple of years. Look, you can't just say it, can you? You can't just say, oh, you know, by the way, you know. You have to wait for the right opportunity. So we're driving the car, she says, I'm thinking of taking my cat back to Washington. So that'd be a good idea. That'd be nice, it'll like it there, you see. She said, have you noticed my cat doesn't like women very much? Because it didn't after that. No, not just me, it didn't like women really very much. So she said, Mum, do you think cats can be anointed? I said, well, I think they can be resurrected. I thought she'd let it pass, you know. But she's sharp, my lady. She said, what do you mean exactly? Resurrected. What do you mean? I said, well, it kind of died. And I thought she'd let it pass, you know. But she said, can we stop the car for a minute? She said, Mom, what does that mean exactly? It kind of died. What does that mean? So I had to tell her. And she said, you're never looking after my animals ever again. And you're definitely not looking after my children. So I told you all those silly stories. They're not silly, they're true. Everything I tell you is outrageous, but true. But I told you that to bring it home to you, that there's nothing wrong with your faith. See, it's what comes against your faith, which you can take authority over, because there's nothing wrong with God's faith in you, is there? Nothing wrong, so it doesn't matter. Look, I have a lady on, she gets on my Facebook. And if I got her off, she comes back under somebody else. Another name, I don't know what she does. She gets on my Facebook somehow. And she emails me. And this lady torments the daylights out of me. I don't know why, you know. I'm going to shoot that lady. She's so mean. She says these awful things to me. She's very mean, full of religious spirits. But I do know, I knew who she was, because she spoke to me at a meeting the year before. And I was in this meeting in Atlanta, I saw this lady at the back. I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to interrupt my meeting. She's going to interfere with the spirit somehow. So we had a little break. The Lord said to me, I want you to go and love that lady. I said, I don't love her. She's a pain. So I want you to go and love her. I said, well, I don't love her. I can't stand her. I'm not going to lie, I don't love her. So God said to me, well, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I said, well, I don't think so. He said, I want you to go and love the lady. So I went over there. She saw me coming. She's like. So I went over there. And I put my arms around her. I thought, you're lying. I said, I love you. I'm so pleased to see you. I thought, you're a liar. Anyway, I put my arms around her, and the love of God just began to flow through me. She got delivered all that stuff. It was awesome. But I mean, see, the things in you he's put there, the love of God, he should have brought in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Other things can come along and interfere with your feelings, but it's not the truth. You see, and it's the same with your faith. You have God's faith in you. You can receive by faith. When you pray, believe. See, when you pray, you don't wait to see if it happens. You got it when you pray. Mine! It doesn't matter what you see. You can receive something by faith, and the next day it looks 10 times worse than it ever did before. Like when I received my mother's salvation by faith, I saw her name in that book. She's saved. That's it. I never prayed. You know, I never prayed for my family again. I received their salvation. David's dad got saved 6 weeks later. He's a little Jewish guy. Sat up in bed with his hands in the air, said, Jesus, my Messiah. Got saved in his sleep. But he was saved when we prayed. We never prayed for them again. After we received, we said, we release the spirit of adoption. Because the word says, salvation is for you and your house. We said, got it! We never prayed again. We got it. David's dad got saved first. But that was just the manifestation. Yeah. He was saved when we prayed. David's mom got saved, little Catholic lady. The priest wouldn't let her come to our meetings. But she hurt her shoulder, and we had a healing meeting in the town hall, so he said she could come to that. She got healed. Then she thought, maybe there's something in this. And she came forward and got saved. But she was saved when we prayed. Understand? That was just a manifestation. But when I received my mother's salvation, because I got it. And when I went to her house, I talked to her like I talked to you, because she was saved. Well, this thing rose up. Spirit of divination. I didn't know it was there. Ooh. And she said, no, I've never heard my mother raise her voice in my entire life. She wasn't ladylike. Oh, when I started talking to her like I talked to you, that spirit knew something was going on. So it raised up. Have you ever seen that in somebody? Spirit rise up like that? Isn't it funny? You can have a church full of nice people. Then you have a move of God. And they change. And there's some of the people you thought weren't hungry turn out to be hungry. And they're all the sweet people. Suddenly hate you because something's going on in the spirit realm, and all those religious spirits are getting stirred up. Anyway, my mum started screaming at me, get out of this house and don't come back, and I'm not going to visit you when you're put in a mental hospital. Ooh. This is my mum. I went down the garden path saying, thank you, Lord, I know she's saved. She just doesn't realise it. And she was saved. Every day she'd call me and scream down the phone because that spirit couldn't stand the sound of my voice. I said, Jesus, love you. Bang. Say, thank you, Lord, I know she's saved. She doesn't realise it. But after about 6 weeks of her screaming at me down the phone, I said, God, I know she's saved, but you need to tell her because this is getting really old. So the next day she called. And she didn't scream. She got delivered when she was in the street. She said, I heard this strange singing. Something left. Then she was open. This could be. She called me on the phone. She said, I don't know what to do tomorrow, which was Sunday. So I got the phone like this. I said, I don't know what to suggest. Go to a movie. I said, you shouldn't go to movies on Sundays. It's funny how religious people are. I said, TV? Rubbish. Visit your sister, she talks about people. I nearly said, what, by herself? And I said, I don't know what to suggest. I thought I might come to your meeting. See, but I know what she was thinking, like two little hymns, a little 10-minute message, that's what she's thinking. I said, and our meetings were pretty wild. I said, Mom, I don't know if you'd like it. She said, how dare you tell me what I'd like? Who do you think you are? I said, well, it's just not church like you think. You have to understand that. I said, I don't know if you'd understand it. I was like thinking aloud, crossing tongues, interpreted prophecies. She said, how dare you insult my intelligence? Now you're insulting my intelligence. I said, it's not church like you think, as long as you know that. And it was all house meetings at the time, you know. I said, we'll send someone to pick you up. So someone went to pick her up. We had this other lady come in. She's one of the Queen's lady in waiting. Even more proper than my mom. You see, well, we had our house, there's chairs all up here, and the French doors open, and all up there, and all up there, and all up the stairs, and everywhere. With all these people, you see. So before the meeting started, I'm in the kitchen. I said, now, look, God, we just need a nice meeting. You know, sing a few songs, little message, be fine. Because my mother hasn't been to a meeting like this before. It's funny how you try and explain to God, isn't it? He never said anything. It's always worrying. Have you noticed that God doesn't answer? It's worrying because you don't know what he's thinking. What's he thinking? It's true. That's true, isn't it? That's happened to me several times. Like, he just didn't answer. I'm like, what's that mean? What are you thinking? You know? Anyway, so they come. My mom sits there. This lady in waiting sits here. They sit opposite each other. People all here singing some songs. It's a bit lively, and you know, they're hanging onto their chairs a little bit, but you know, it's okay. Well, suddenly the anointing hits this lady up here, this missionary lady, lifts her off her feet, and she flies through the air past my mum and this lady and lands on her back in the other room. I thought maybe they didn't see that, but they did because they're going. But they couldn't go anywhere because they both had a ride, so they're like, I'm saying to God, that's enough. No more of that. Don't do any more stuff like that. You're going to scare my mom, you know. It's true. And then this guy had a word of knowledge. My mom responded, so did this other lady. I'm saying, she just needs to pray a nice little prayer, like, you know, pat on the head or something. So he puts his hands on my mom and this other lady. So my mum goes flying this way, boom! Lands on her back, very undignified. The other lady goes flying that way, lands on her back. They stayed there for the rest of the meeting, laid there for 2 hours. You see, I thought, well, at least I don't have to worry about the meeting anymore. Anyway, the meeting finished, they both got up, they found each other. Isn't it funny how people find each other? You get two people in your church causing mischief, take them half an hour to find each other. They found each other. They came to David and said, excuse me, could we get baptized in your bath? They both got baptized in the bath. My mum does David's pajamas. Well, they both look so undignified. Anyway, but the point was, she was saved when we prayed. Do you understand? That was just the manifestation. But the interesting thing is, as soon as I received her salvation, she was 100 times worse. So if you went by what you saw and heard, you see, you'd let it go and you'd go back and start at square one again. Because when you, if you're praying and you've got something in your spirit and you let it go, you're going to go back to square one. You see, so don't let go. It doesn't matter what you see or what you hear. What you've got in your spirit, you've got in your spirit, don't let it go. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what anybody says. You got it. Understand? You have to. Because it's funny, isn't it? As soon as I received my mum's salvation, I've never seen her behave like that before. But you think, the spirit realm, it knows. It knows. When you're in the spirit, it knows you've got something in the spirit. It knows, senses it. That's where that thing rose up, you see, like that. It'd been there for years. But it didn't manifest until I got something in my spirit. Do you understand? Now, how many of you have unsaved family? Well, look at that. Okay. Salvation is for you and your house. That's a promise. You know, if your Auntie Mary can go to some spiritist meeting and it affects the family, which it does, how much more can the anointing in you affect your family when you believe? Because there isn't any devil that's stronger than your faith. There isn't any stronghold or higher whatever that's stronger than your faith. There's no such thing. Everything has to bow if you stay in a spirit of faith. Do you understand? And don't let go. But you have to get it in your spirit, see. That's why I said you have to own it. You have to make it mine. I got it. You can't get it here. You've got to get it here. Some of you New Zealanders are too nice. You're a bit too polite sometimes. You need to get mad. You have to get mad sometimes. You have to get mad at the devil. He's not to be tolerated. He just doesn't want you to receive your inheritance. He doesn't want you moving in the spirit. He doesn't want you having visitations and going in chariots and seeing visions and prophesying and having signs, wonders and miracles. You better get into faith, because last night the Lord showed me he's going to do financial miracles for people today. So you better get into faith, haven't you? Woo! Because he showed me a whole big basket of gold coins. When I see those gold coins, I have an angel that has gold coins, and I see him do financial miracles for people, because you have to break out that poverty spirit. You have things to do and places to go. I hate it. I hate it because it keeps God people from doing what he wants them to do. See, we don't get angry enough, do we? We tolerate things. You know, we roll over too easy. Whatever will be. It's Doris Day theology. It's not God's theology. When he offers you something, you're mine. See, like that lady pushed through the crowd, remember? That lady was sick. She'd been sick for a long time. She couldn't have been very strong, but she suddenly saw the source of her healing. She said, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. Mine! She did. There was a crowd. She didn't stand at the back of the crowd and said, Jesus knows where I live if he wants to heal me.
Did he?
Did she? Well, Jesus knows where I am if he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. He can. She said, get out of the way, get out of the way. She pushed. She pushed people out the way. That's rude. That's rude. But she saw something. Hey, we're too polite to do that. Well, you know what? We've all got a crowd. Sometimes we have a crowd up here. Sometimes we have a crowd of people around you. And you say, you know, I went in the chariot and I saw angels. And they say, who do you think you are? I mean, you're not Benny Hinn. Talking about angels and chariots, you say, but I am royalty. Okay, well, why don't we receive your family salvation? It's a promise. So you receive by what? By faith. So I'm going to pray. When I do, I want you to see their names. You can even say their names in that book, in his book. That's what I did. By faith, I saw their names in his book. And when it's done, it's done. You're not waiting to see something anymore because you got it. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't care if they come and spit in your eye. They're still saved because you got it. Are you with me? Okay. I'm not pulling teeth or anything. I'm telling you something good. So when I pray, we're going to receive. Thank you, Lord. Salvation is for you and your house. Say, mine. My house. My house. By faith, Lord, I see their names in your book right now. Just see that book. See the book. And by faith, see their names. See their names there. See it? There is a spirit of faith here, too. Wow. Ready? Say, got it. Mine. It's over. Listen, I don't care what it looks like tomorrow. If you've got it, you've got it. Understand? Don't make the devil go back, make you go back. Don't let it go again. It's done. That's what faith is. If you've got a word or a promise or something, you receive it just by faith. It's over. It's done. Don't sing songs asking God to do what he's already done. Declare what he's done. There's nothing more he needs to do for you. It's already done. You have to get under the spout where the water flows out. That's all. Okay, say this after me. Say, Jesus, I'm not working for you anymore. I quit. But I am yielding to you so that you, by your Spirit, can flow through me because I'm available and I'm so qualified. Oh. Take a deep breath and let that go. You know what? You're not God. Don't try and be God. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can't make people. You can't change people or make them do things. You can believe, though. You can believe. See, your responsibility is not to minister to need, it's to minister to him. As a byproduct, needs will be met. But if you run around trying to meet all the needs, you'll be doing back to this again, won't you? Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm so happy that you're not God. Say, I'm even happier that I'm not God either. Because listen up, your responsibility, do what he tells you to do, say what he tells you to say, go where he tells you to go, that's it. You can't make anything happen. So we're going to have our little lunch break. I'm going to teach you about the angels. You want to hear about the angels? You need to know about the angels. But before I do that, I just want to ask you a favor, can I? Well, we have our little break. Can I ask you a favor? There's three of you. Okay, that's good. Could you pass my things to me? Thanks, Margaret. I just want to share some things I've got on my book table because if you can, if you're going to get some things, can you try and get it now while we have our break so that we're not here forever afterwards? You know what I mean? Don't thank you. You're going to be my... Now, I told you last night, you guys are the ones that suggested I make these. I call them jumps. You call them... USB sticks. And there's several of these out there. They're different colours and they have different books and CDs on. And these are a really good deal. They're also very light. And see, look, keep listening because you've got to get things out of here. Things that have gone in, is that right? Nathan's got some good books too. I haven't got much left in the way of books. All my stuff's on those jumps now. But this is really good. This is what happened to the children in John Wesley's meetings in the 17th century. And what's happened in our meetings, because, you know, children do not have a junior Holy Spirit. And my husband, and in John Wesley's meetings, the children were in heaven for hours and hours and hours, all the time. And when my husband uses them in the kids in his meetings, miracle meetings, he has 80% success. Thank you. Over 80% success. Now, Randy Clark said in Charisma magazine, he has 30% success, okay, which is what most of them say. The children have over 80% success. Isn't that funny? You see, because you say to people who prayed for you, I don't know, some kid. He has deaf ears open, blind eyes, broken bones. The little kids, he calls it the laying on of sticky fingers. See, now this is like my Celtic ebook collection, all on this one disc. This has got Celtic flames and all eyewitness accounts from the 5th century. Do you think that's awesome? This one is the almond tree, and it's how to see what God sees for you. You have to get in tune with him and see what he sees for you and then walk towards it. Because he has a destiny. He doesn't want us wandering around, you know, like Pooh Bear through the 100-acre wood. He wants us to know where we're going. And now there's a lot of seers in New Zealand, I discovered. So this is 3 CDs on the seer anointing. That's what I have. A seer anointing is a prophetic gift, but God moves a lot in your senses, taste, touch, feel, smell. So if you're that way, you think you have a seer anointing, here's some instructions for you. Because I keep finding lots of seers, and they don't know what they have, and they don't know what to do with it. So it's a very powerful gift, actually. But you have to stay light. Whatever you have to stay light. Because that heavy stuff is not spiritual. It's religious, and it's soulish. There's nothing worse than religious prophets. Because they put their stuff on everyone, it's true. So you've got to say, be light-hearted. At the end, an angel will come that has cotton candy. What do you call it? Candy floss. He has cotton, you'll smell it. And when you eat it, it makes you very lightheaded, which is a good thing. Because weights are on the mind. This is accounts of different revivals. Who likes to hear about revivals? And this is, who prays? Anybody? Spiritual strategies. It's how to discern the strategies of the enemy, because the enemy has strategies and God can show you them and you can undo them. Woo! Is that awesome? Because God has a strategy too. And faith in angels, that's kind of a little bit what I did today. You know, so you can get that, keep listening. I just tell people keep listening. I have one of these left. Tips to unlocking the book within you. Who knows there's a book in them? You know what? When was it? I saw the feather over New Zealand. When did I see that? Yeah, I saw a feather, a white feather over New Zealand. Now, a white feather is for writing. And the Lord told me he's going to raise up lots of writers in New Zealand. There's going to be a whole bunch of people rising up with awesome things to say in books that are going to go across the world. So if you think you have something to write, you can download that little book, Unlocking the Book. It just gives you some tips what to do, what not to do. And, yeah, who's got something? Yeah, come on, be bold. Yeah. Yeah, let it out. Okay, now the other thing, I have some of these. I do want to take these home, these minerals. They're awesome. Last year a month, this, it's only like 12, how much is it?
$12.
But we gave these to orphanage kids in Kenya that had AIDS, and after 6 weeks, they were all AIDS-free. So it totally boosts your immune system. Anything of mine, you know what, get on my website, Kathy Walters Ministry. There's lots of books, CDs, all kinds of good stuff. There's all kinds of free videos on there you can watch about water spirits, about different religious spirits, and you have a good time. So these, I have some of these left. I don't want to take them back with me. Because we actually forgot to put them out at the last conference. So anyway, so what are we going to do now, Nathan? Just have a little break. Get the CDs if you could during the break. And then we come back and we learn about the angels. Get some cows. And I'll pray for everybody. How about that? Okay. I love you guys.